Bible says in 1 Kings 21, verse 25, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." Now, Jeroboam was no good dude. Okay? Jeroboam was a very bad king. In fact, he influenced all the kings, a lot of the kings following him in Israel. And it says about them, as I explained in those notes, that they went after or followed the ways of Jeroboam. Jeroboam, Nadab, Elah, Zimri, Tibni. We get down to Omri. And Omri, the Bible says, was the worst of all before him. And then Omri's son is Ahab. And now the Bible's telling us that Ahab here, "There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." We'll look at the snapshot right after prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to open your word. Thank you for the challenge, the good challenge from Amos already. Lord, help us not to just go through the motions today, though, Lord, we're thankful that we're healthy to be here week after week and worship you. Lord, we pray for understanding in the Scripture today. We pray that, Lord, you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, you put a bad example in front of us. And, Lord, it seems in Scripture that maybe there are more things to learn from the bad examples that you bring before us than the good examples. So teach us, God. Warn us. Help us, Lord, to be awakened, Lord, to these truths from Ahab's life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look on your first page there, the Ahab spirit. Ahab was one of the wickedest kings of Israel. His codependent relationship with Jezebel allowed evil to run rampant. The spirit of Ahab abdicates authority for approval and acceptance of a Jezebel. This spirit tolerates evil, shirks responsibility, and enjoys childish things. Remember Ahab, "I want Naboth's vineyard. He won't give it to me." Yeah, pouting. Yeah, acting like a child. It's part of the Ahab spirit. It is also effeminate, materialistic, promiscuous. If this is you, pray for deliverance from the Ahab spirit. There are major Bible passages on King Ahab in your snapshot there. Those are listed for you. He did reign over Israel for 22 years. He died in Ramoth, Gilead, Syria. The contemporary king, so here's Israel on the northern part, Judah down south, and the kings that were reigning over Judah, he began his reign during the end of Asa's reign over Judah, and then he reigned in Israel during most of the reign of Jehoshaphat in Judah, and there are the dates of Jehoshaphat's reign. Thankfully, in Ahab's life, one of the manifestations of God's mercy toward Ahab is that God gave him godly prophets in his life, men like Elijah and men like Micaiah. Now, we'll look at Ahab's attitude and how Ahab treated those scriptural and biblical and spiritual authorities, but at least there were some present. It is scaring me how thin the ranks are getting of men that are launching into studying for the ministry today. And we need pastors and evangelists and missionaries, because people, part of the mercy of God is that God would give men to stand up and declare his word and pronounce warning and pronounce judgment and give comfort and encouragement and all the things that come from the word of God. We need more. There are churches, my father will tell you, there are churches that are without pastors for 6 months, a year, and no hope, nowhere to go, nowhere to find one in our day. In Ahab's day, at least there were a couple of prophets that had the opportunity to try to influence Ahab. Of course, his predecessor was Omri, his father, and his successor, Ahab's successor, was Ahaziah. The meaning of Ahab is brother of his father. You're going to see that come out in the story of Ahab as we study. There are major events, choosing to marry Jezebel, one of which was a really, really, really bad choice. Coveting and taking Naboth's vineyard was another really, really bad choice in Ahab's life. Preserving Syria's king, Ben-Hadad, was another really bad choice in Syria. And the truth is, what the Bible reveals to us about Ahab, we really only find one good choice in Ahab's life. And I'm going to share that with you in the lesson this morning. But how would you like to have your life described by bad choice after bad choice after bad choice after bad decision after... That's Ahab. Choosing to allow Jezebel to stir him up. His building of his ivory house in 1 Kings chapter 22. And stop there for just a second. If you go to page number 6 of your handout, you may not be into archaeology. I'm not into archaeology a lot, but when I was over in Israel, archaeology came alive to me. One of the things on my bucket list is to go to Israel and do an archaeological dig, because they dig in certain places, and as they're digging, they come upon certain findings, and some of those findings are there to prove out Scripture. And so they've done some digging over in Israel, and in regards to Ahab's palace and also his ivory house, and there's just some information here that I took off a website, and I think I give you the place where the website is there at the top, but some interesting read on what they found and how that may relate to Ahab and what we know about Ahab in the Scriptures. I thought I would just put that in there for your reading today, and I thought that you would enjoy that. Proverbs 29:16 says this: when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Ahab also experienced drought and famine for 3.5 years from God. It reminds me that when we are against God and rebellious, we have God's attention, and not always in a good way. And certainly Ahab had God's attention, but it wasn't in a good way. And so I want to give you a number of things as you take notes in your notes this morning. Someone said Ahab's life is a clear picture of what happens when a leader serves himself. We find in Ahab a very, very selfish man. And we're going to read about him today, and you're going to see selfishness flushed out in his life and what that kind of life looks like. If you're writing and taking notes, I would like you to write down Ahab and his sinful adoration. Ahab and his sinful adoration. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 16, and I'll need some help with reading this morning. I'll need somebody to read 1 Kings 16, 29 through 33. Who would help me with those verses? 1 Kings 16, 29 through 33. Can somebody help me read those this morning, Garland? If you'll help me read those verses. And then I would like somebody else to read Joshua chapter 6, verse number 26, Joshua 6, verse 26. Dave, if you can help me read Joshua 6, 26. And then I would like somebody to read 1 Kings 16, 34. 1 Kings 16, 34. Can I have a reader for 1 Kings 16, 34, Brother Skip? And 1 Kings 18, 4. Is there somebody that could read 1 Kings 18, 4? Joel? And then Dave, I'll have you read 1 Kings 18, 19. Okay, and we'll stop there for now, but that'll get us going this morning. We're in 1 Kings 16, verses 29 through 33. And Garland, could you stand and read that for us? notice here in the text that he did walk in the sins of Jeroboam, and that biography is given to the kings prior to Ahab, the kings of Israel. But then, and he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. Now, we know, coming down from Abraham to Moses to David, that Israel was to worship one God. And in fact, the forefathers, Ahab's forefathers here, Ahab being a Jew, we know that they set up worship to worship the one and only true God. Now, beginning with Solomon and coming down through Jeroboam and the line of the kings, we know that they set up high places and they walked after Jeroboam. But when we get to Ahab, it turns really bad. And one of the reasons it turns really bad is that progression of sin in worship. And then Ahab marries Jezebel. And my dad always told me years ago, he said, if you get the right one, he said, you'll double the effectiveness of your ministry. But if you get the wrong one, son, he says, life is going to be miserable. And I wrote down in my thoughts as we study, really Ahab turning from worshiping God to worshiping Baal. If you marry a Baal worshiper, expect to become one yourself. He married outside the faith. He married a heathen. He married a lady that was from the Zidonians, that it was their practice to worship Baal. May I remind you, parents, you don't marry somebody outside the faith and expect to win them to the faith. It doesn't work that way in most cases. Most cases, that person turns the one that is saved away from the Lord. And by the way, not just away from the Lord, but against the Lord. That's what happened to Ahab. And as a result now, he is worshiping a false God. Be reminded this morning that when we erect idols in our own lives, idols of worship other than God, be reminded we are leading others toward the judgment of God, not just towards idol worship. Here Ahab married Jezebel, dummy Ahab, spiritually foolish Ahab. And she led him by his nose into Baal worship. And then he would face the judgment of God because of all that. I'm not blaming all that happens in Ahab's life on Jezebel. I'm saying this. He made a very foolish choice early in his life that affected his life. It would be very, very foolish for a young person in our church to say, well, you know, the spiritual part of a person really doesn't matter to me. If I like their personality and, you know, I like the way they look and I like, you know, the fact that they're hardworking, the spiritual part really doesn't matter. You're foolish. You're foolish. That's what Ahab's mentality was in marriage. And it blew his life apart. And so we see Ahab and his sinful adoration. Secondly, if you're taking notes in your notes, we see Ahab and his silent allowances. His silent allowances. Joshua chapter number 6 and verse number 26. Dave? Joshua, godly man or ungodly man? Godly man, leading Israel, and made something very clear here, didn't he? What he made clear was anybody that would rise up and build the city of Jericho, that man would bring a curse upon himself. God did not want the city of Jericho rebuilt. And in fact, Joshua said this, if he does it, his firstborn and the youngest son that he has, so his firstborn and his lastborn, so to speak, both of them would die. This would be part of the curse for rebuilding Jericho. Joshua, a godly leader, warned on that front. It was made clear. Joshua didn't want anybody to miss out on that warning. He made it clear to the people. But we get to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. And it is during Ahab's reign that the city of Jericho is rebuilt. Who has 1 Kings 16, 34? Brother Skip? Hey, question. Is Bible prophecy fulfilled? Here's Joshua speaking back in the book of Joshua, quite a few years before we get to 1 Kings and the reign of the kings, because Joshua's book covers the time in which the nation had rest under godly leadership. But now here's the 10 northern tribes, and there was a promise that Joshua made and said there'll be a curse on the person that rebuilds Jericho, and his two sons will die. In his days, do you see that in verse 34? In whose days? In Ahab's days. Ahab didn't carry on the warning. Ahab didn't carry on the boundary that God had set up under Joshua. Ahab, watch this, allowed Jericho to be rebuilt. It was under Ahab's reign. Now, that's not the only silent allowance that we have of Ahab. We read in 1 Kings 18:4 that there were some things going on with godly men under Jezebel, and we don't see Ahab speaking to it at all. 1 Kings 18 and verse number 4. Joel? Okay, Ahab was a Jew. Jezebel was not. It's possible that Ahab would have, when he was around the prophets, respected the prophets, but now Jezebel, his wife, is cutting them off. It means she's murdering them. And this is all happening right under Ahab's nose. This is a man that sold himself by silent allowances. Things that he allowed. Not only did Jezebel put the prophets of the Lord to death, but King Ahab allows her to put 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to eat at her table, to provide meat for these false prophets. We read about that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 19. Dave? Which eat at Jezebel's table. She's murdering God's men, and she's feeding and showing hospitality to 850 of the enemy's men, false prophets. And all this is going on, and Ahab doesn't say a word about it. Not recorded in the scriptures that Ahab stood up to any of it. Just silence, silent allowances. I think there's application to be made here. And I think it's application of what we silently allow in our lives, in our homes, that we don't speak up on, that we don't confront, that we don't put a stop sign on and say, whoa, 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 we need to look at the Word of God on this. We need to step back from participating in this. We need to turn around and turn from this in our lives, in our family, right? Ahab was silent. It tells us a story about Ahab. He had no religious convictions. As king, he was along for the ride. He was happy as long as the people were happy. He was happy as long as Jezebel was happy. As long as Heel was happy, building Jericho, he was happy. Don't ruffle any feathers was the motto in Ahab's life. Ahab was really becoming his own object of worship. Ahab and his silent allowances. Ahab and his sinful adoration. Thirdly, Ahab and his senseless agreements. Ahab and his senseless agreements. First Kings chapter 20, if you will, if you turn over to First Kings chapter 20. Now, he already made an agreement. He made a covenant, didn't he, with Jezebel. It's called marriage. That was a senseless agreement. That was senseless agreement number one. Boy, be careful who you tie into, young people. I cannot sound that warning enough. Be careful who you lock in marriage with. Let me remind you, who you marry is for life. Who you marry is for life. And I don't want to say you're stuck with the person you're married to, but I would say this. If you get somebody that has no heart for God, no heart for the church, no heart for the Bible, heart for immorality, heart for disregarding authority, heart for leaving the parents of their youth and disregarding their parents and honoring of their parents in their lives, my friend, let me tell you, trouble is coming your way. And I would rather say it to somebody before it happens than to sit in my office with somebody weeping after it happens and there's no way out of it. And man, we see it in Jezebel over and over again, and Ahab. Ahab made another agreement, though, in 1 Kings 20, verses 1 through 12. And the Bible says here, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. There were 32 kings with him in horses and chariots." That's a pretty formidable opponent. "He went up and besieged Samaria," that's the capital of northern Israel, "and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto them, 'Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine.' And the king of Israel answered and said, 'My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have.'" Ahab was probably fearful. Ahab was trying to strike a truce. Ahab was trying to make peace. Watch this. At any cost. And he says in verse number 5, "And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the house of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not." What a senseless agreement to give up something that's going to take everything that God has given you. Silver, gold, children, wife or wives here. And Ahab said, "All that I have is thine." When the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25, that he sold himself, that Ahab was more wicked than others because he sold himself. Can you see what the Bible's saying here? He made an agreement with the enemy and sold out that which was most valuable to him, his family members. He sold out to. You know, there are men and women in homes today selling out to the enemy. I mean, the enemy has a grasp on their lives, whether it's a spirit sin like bitterness or envy or jealousy or anger, and they're sold out to it. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" They hold on to that at the expense of everything that's being taken from them. You understand spirit sins destroy the family? They just rip the family apart. Bitterness, anger, wrath, jealousy, envy. These sins take children and take husband and wife relationships And there are people that would rather hold on to them and say, all that I have is thine. Senseless agreements that Ahab made. There are sins of the flesh that people sell out to. I think of people that are drinking their finance, their resources away, drinking their marriage relationship away. I think of people that are into pornography, drinking, you know, viewing and saying, all that is that I have is thine, enemy. Satan, have it all. Brethren, don't sell yourself. Don't sell away what you have. Ahab made a stupid agreement here, a foolish agreement. And then he made another one, and that is he agreed to preserve Ben-Hadad. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Kings 20, or you're there. And God, in His mercy, after all of that, Ahab's senseless agreement with Ben-Hadad, give him my silver, give him my gold, let him walk into my house and dictate whatever else they want, and give him my children, and give him my wives. After that, God is merciful to say to Ahab, Ahab, I'm going to bring Syria into your hands. And you're going to have the opportunity to have victory so that you will know that I am the Lord. And what God wanted him to do was to destroy and take the life of Ben-Hadad. Finish the job. By the way, isn't this the same thing that he wanted Saul to do with the Amalekites? Right? Just destroy it all. Don't keep anything for yourself. Don't preserve. And so we get to that story in 1 Kings chapter 20. And the Bible says in verse 31, and the servant said unto him, behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. And so they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, is he yet alive? And then look what he said. He is my brother. Wait a second. Go back to the first page of your notes. What does Ahab mean? Anybody remember on the first page? Brother is my father. Now, he is so linked up. He has a wife with the enemy. And now he claims Ben-Hadad to be part of his family. He is my brother. Do you see how associations killed Ahab's life? His associations. It says in verse number 33, now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him and did hastily catch it. And they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, go ye, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. So now Ben-Hadad's coming before Ahab. And it says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Another compromise. Another senseless agreement. What happens as a result of all that? The prophet comes. He disguises himself. Ahab sees, oh, this is one of God's prophets. We get to the end of the passage, verse 42. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, that being Ben-Hadad. Therefore thy life shall go for his life and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. I wonder in your life if you are tampering, if you are flirting with a senseless agreement. That is, you're considering a covenant. You're considering an alliance. You're considering an association. You're considering stepping into a yoke with somebody. And in your heart of hearts, you know it's not good. It's not what God wants. Better hear the warning from Ahab's life this morning and say, I'm going to stop that in its tracks. Now I've got to take another step in that direction. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. Nope. Nope. No Ben-Hadad in my life. Not going to keep him alive, so to speak. I'm going to put a death to that thought. I'm going to put a death, a nail in that coffin, so to speak. I am not pursuing that association, that friendship, that relationship in my life. Oh, if Ahab would have done that, you would not be reading verse 42. His life for Ben-Hadad's life. You would not be reading thy people for his people. And God forecast here, and guess what? It all came true just like God said it would. Ahab, the king who sold himself.